So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ah, that's right, as we are back here, yes, and the party is just getting started. Oh, I see some people look like they're going to make the trip to Pittsburgh.
We get a chance to party.
Come on out here and have a good time. Got a chance to win prizes, multiple prizes. Got a signed football from Jaden Higgins, the rookie who is starting to come on, and Jalen Petrie, an autographed game-size helmet. You can win. Catch our guy Shea. Grab a raffle ticket and put it in our raffle box and give yourself a chance to win. We'll start that at about 4 o'clock, so stay in the 4 o'clock hour. So stay tuned. You got to be here to win. So if you get on out here, make sure you give yourself that opportunity to win some great prizes on this playoff edition of Thirsty Thursday here, Buffalo Wild Wings. Shout out to our good friends at Bud Light and Buffalo Wild Wings who helped put this together. We just heard from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, as they get ready for this Pittsburgh game. Clint, he talked about a lot there. What things kind of jumped out as we kind of recap what DeMeco had to say there?
Well, you know, for me, it's pretty simple, man. It's the Pittsburgh pieces. We know about the Texans and who they are, right? I mean, the Reed is back, and they're going to evaluate him this week and kind of see how that safety position looks. That's one thing that he came out of the box. But when you look at to me, what DeMeco had to say about the running backs, I think are a big deal here with the Pittsburgh Steelers and kind of how we handle them. Aaron Rodgers and Arthur, Arthur Smith, the OC, they use their backs, I mean, as much as anybody in the league in the run game and the pass game. They're going to get them matched up on our linebackers, and DeMeco spoke about that. He talked about DK Metcalf being a big play guy, and really, if you look back this year with the Texans, the big play, the one or two big plays is kind of what swung games.
That's kind of been his career thing, yep. And that's what DeMeco had to say there. All of his career, he's done a really good job of being a big play threat.
Yeah, that's his deal, man. So it's those two pieces, and then Rodgers, you know, talking about Aaron Rodgers. I just think Aaron Rodgers is a bigger piece of this of – as we talked about yesterday, the guys that have been able to execute and deliver the football from inside the well, inside the pocket, the guys that have been able to avoid the negative plays and not try to extend plays when there's no chance against this defense, those are the guys that have at least kept their team in games against the Texans. And so, you know, I think those three things on the offensive side of the football, and then he mentioned the three interior guys on their defense. You know, we've talked a lot about big boy in the middle.
Cameron Hayward.
I don't know why I keep on calling him Metcalf. Hayward. We've talked a lot about him, and he gets a lot of the attention, rightfully so. But, you know, to hear DeMeco say it, you know, there's a couple of other guys inside there that are super, super disruptive. And so, you know, I think that against our interior offensive line, I think DeMeco speaking specifically to the matchups that I think are going to end up dictating this game.
Yeah, 95 for them pops on the screen on the inside.
Yeah.
He's been out there that's made some plays. I thought what he talked about, and I would say the Texans have been pretty good at this for the most part of this, like the majority of the season, but there have been some games, and there was one recently against the Raiders that this crept up. As he said, they got to tackle. He talked about that specifically in that they've got to get these guys on the ground, what he said. They've got to tackle. Remember that Raiders game, Ashton Jeanty broke a couple of tackles and had the real big run where he broke a lot of tackles and got some yards. And on that one, that particular play scored a touchdown. But this is something really big because they're big on Gainwell, even their tight end. Jonnu Smith is somebody they do this with. Warren, they're big on run after the catch, right? They use – DK down the field, but then those other guys like Alston and their running backs, Jonnu Smith. You'll see Jonnu Smith line up as in Wildcat. You'll see him just line up. I saw them just do a toss sweep last week with Jonnu Smith in the backfield.
Yep.
And he can be tough to get down on the ground. Tackling is a big deal because that seems to be the bulk of their offense outside of down the field to DK Metcalf. So that is, I'm guessing the way he spoke about that, a big emphasis for the Texans this week.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's got to be. It's been the boogeyman.
And it's how the Steelers have
yes,
been successful.
And it's literally, I mean, I would say Aaron Rodgers still today is, when it comes to those, you know, throwing the ball on time, anticipating, being accurate down the field and being able to stretch the field, he's as good, if not better, than anybody they faced at that particular part of it. Being on time. Now, obviously, he's not Josh Allen, but being on time and laying the ball in zones and laying the ball over the top accurately, and I mean, that is what he is really, really good at. And so, yeah, I agree with you, Ron. That is it's all the things that because the headliner here for the Texans is clearly the defense, right? So, I mean, we can talk about the offensive issues all day long, but reality is with the offense is don't turn it over, don't take sacks. I would like for you to have some answers for pressure, even if those are just immediate answers, right? The offense, we've talked to death. Really, it's about the defensive issues and how bad are they? Do you look up and it's a Seattle deal and it's 14-0 in the first quarter? Right? Do you look up and it's a Indianapolis deal and they scored 17 points in the first half? I mean, those kind of situations, I think, are going to be – that's how the Texans get in trouble in the playoffs. If they avoid those kinds of situations, then I think there's a real chance they can make a deep run here. If not, whether it's first round or Super Bowl, they're going to have a real problem with that if that defense gives up a couple of big ones early.
Yeah, speaking of what you just talked about, he later talked about C.J. Stroud and, hey, he's got to play the game. Play the game we've been playing, he said. Got to play the game we've been playing. Play well. Don't turn the ball over. I wonder when he says of C.J. Stroud in this season, the 2025 now into the 2026 season, when he says play well for C.J., I wonder what that means in his mind.
I think he said it right there, didn't
he?
Don't turn the ball over. Immediately don't turn the ball over. That is what
– because I don't think that was what – playing well for C.J. Stroud was 2 years ago.
No.
I don't know, like that when he would say playing well, right? Play the way we've been playing so we know how they've been playing and don't turn the ball over. Those are the two things he said around.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not real sure if that's C.J. Stroud's thought of playing well right now, opinion of playing well right now. I think he's having to do some real mental struggling here to learn how to really tone things down and play in that don't turn the ball over, minimize mistakes approach. And boy, you hope it just doesn't handcuff the guy that you know he can be.
Yeah, but I will say in this game, it does feel like if they do that, the way their defense has played and is capable of playing and capable of what they could do to the Steelers, we've seen the Texans defense really control better offenses and better weapons than what the Steelers have. So if they're able to do that, in this game, that may be enough for C.J. to just don't turn the ball over, play like we've been playing. That may be enough in this game. All right, you talked about DK Metcalf, their weapons, and this brings me here, Clint, with the Texans' top weapon. And we've had conversations throughout the year. And this is money time now, Clint. And this is now you got to have your guys. Clint, this just cannot be a game where Nico Collins is not heavily involved. This just cannot be a game where Nico Collins is taken out of this game. This can't be one of those, you know, 3-4 catch 2-4-5 target games.
Yep.
Like it is, there's got to be some forcing. There's got to be, this has to be. And we've watched the Steelers. I mean, the Ravens got the ball to Flowers, their big play guy for multiple big plays in that game. He had 138 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. They played the Browns earlier this year, Clint. When you think about the Browns, like who you want to get the ball to? Gibbs and St. Brown. They got 19 targets between the two of them. They're able to get the ball to their guys. This cannot just be a Nico has helped the offense via a decoy and helping others, it's also got to be him being productive. They just cannot allow Pittsburgh to easily take him out of the game. We've seen many times this year.
Well, I agree with you. Hell, you're talking about a dead horse that's been beaten by me. That's for damn sure one of them. But that is, you know, that's to me, that's another big part of not just the Pittsburgh game, but this is another big part of the Texans in the playoffs.
Their run, yeah.
The Texans, we said it from jump, is you know, it's, I think there's some good things can happen sporadically throughout a regular season that may give you the belief that Higgins is ready to be a guy that can separate versus man, that can win in big moments, and you know, that Christian Kirk has done it in the past, and so he had a little flurry of a couple of games, I think, throughout the seasons. Knowles flashed, and you know, but reality sets in, and you know, in big time moments, there's a reason why great offensive minds are in that process of think players, not plays. Right, we are heavy in, we're going to think plays. We're going to think plays. What kind of plays? They take away Nico. What plays are getting these other guys open? And I just don't know. Now, I may be wrong, but I've said it all year long. I just don't know that you're going to be able to win in the playoffs without making Nico Collins a priority. I don't know if the supporting cast is good enough. There is no Diggs. There is no Tank Dell, right? There is no Brevin Jordan to give you the explosive you know, plays throughout a game potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they just – you've got a tight end that is a you know, a really good security blanket that has got, you know, he's been really good this year, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to separate and make explosive. Even in the tight end world, you know, we've seen a couple of explosive tight ends this year. He's not an explosive guy that's going to change the game. The way he changes the game is, you know, 8 or 9 catches, converting third downs. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and change the game with explosives. And so Nico Collins is the guy that –
And they've got nobody over there that can hold him.
Who, Nico, you talking about?
Yeah, they got. Yeah. I'm talking about Pittsburgh. They got nobody over there like that. Their secondary, listening to In the Loop earlier, they had a guy from Pittsburgh on. Their secondary has come on in the second half. And Joey Porter Jr. is a good player. But they ain't got – man, they ain't got nobody over there that can hold him.
Yeah.
Especially fire, to what you're saying, if you make him a priority, if you're saying, like we're walking in here, and man, like, I don't know if he will, but damn it, Nico Collins is going to have every opportunity to make an imprint on this game. And not just because they got a safety over the top and we can get, you know, Jalen Noel or Christian Kirk on some one-on-ones that can help. No. Like, because in this game, if Aaron Rodgers has the ability to stand up, I bet you Kenneth Gainwell and DK Metcalf are going to get a lot of targets. Mm-hmm. Like, that they're going to attempt to get the ball to those two guys because those have been his guys. I don't know if Nico Collins will get 6 targets.
Well, here's,
at least.
He
should get 9 or 10.
Well, here's the deal, right? Is I think this is a lot like defensively. We talked about Stingley yesterday. I think this is a lot about you start the game. I mean, it's who you are, it's your identity. We can like it or not like it, cuss it, discuss it, whatever you want to do. At the end of the day, it's who they are, right? You start the game, and if they start shading towards Nico like they've done, and Dalton Schultz and Higgins and Noel and Kirk and Woody and everybody else is eating, and you're moving the football, then you just stay in structure and you keep rolling. The fear or the concern or what we need to look out for is the minute that this team can take away Nico, and then the others aren't good enough to sustain drives or to convert in the red zone, then it's got to be, all right, Nick, all right, Kaylee, what are you going to do now with Nico so that they can't get a beat on him?
Because it causes CJ to have to hold the ball a tick, which brings in the strength of their – and that's what we've kind of seen in the second half.
Yeah.
Like you've said it before, like putting a safety over the top of Nico is too easy to take him out of the game.
Right.
Like that's just – and that seems like we've seen that a few times. Someone texted in, if the Texans win, it will not be because of their offense. Their defense will be the key. Oh, I agree they are leading the way and driving the bus. But, like, the more that they're able to get from the offense, the more margin of error they have in these games. And the more that they're able to get to their offense, the more that they get to do what they do well.
Right.
Right. And Nico has to be heavily involved in that. Yeah, someone texted Ron. It's been 17 games with this offense. You know. Ocho. No, I know, but don't mean we. Hey, they turn a leaf here.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, look.
But the thing is, we've seen it though. We've seen him get heavily. Obviously, the one that comes to mind is with Davis Mills against Tennessee, where somehow I don't know if it was Davis or Nick. Somebody just said to hell with it. I'm just going to throw it to Nico every single time.
But we've also, Ron, seen them struggle in the red zone with zero creativity, and then the next time they're coming out with, again, the Dory Agumbawale Wildcat running the ball with Woody Marks outside. We've seen them. I mean, even some of the stuff that didn't work that they tried, the Nico Collins stuff, the Xavier Hutchinson stuff. That, you know, we've seen them show 6 weeks of, like, zero creativity and go, hey, man, we got to do something when we get down there. Boom, and they change, and all of a sudden they're doing outside the box thinking, right? It would not be very far outside the box to go, okay, now let's shake things up a little bit and see if we can't bust Nico loose somewhere. I think this is the tiger don't change his stripes, if you will, if on offense and defense. I think you start the game that way, and the game dictates, okay, Nick Cayley, you got to do something a little more creative. Okay, D'Amico Ryans, you got to put Derek Stingley Jr. on DK Metcalf. Like, I think they let the game dictate that. The question is I trust D'Amico when the game dictates that to go, boom, I got the answer. Does Nick Cayley have that answer on the offensive side of the football? That's going to be the question. Watching that Baltimore-Pittsburgh game last week, that back and forth in the fourth quarter, low scoring, bang, 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 all of a sudden it went crazy. Does Nick Cayley have that in his bag, right? Yeah. He has a couple times this year. You mentioned the Jacksonville game. So I
Jacksonville
mean,
game, yeah, that went off. All right, coming up, some Astros news and notes. They've come to terms with several important players. When you hear the amount of money that they are going to be paying Hunter Brown, I mean, I'm gonna need them to go make a move. I need them to go spend some money to go make a move. I mean, when you their most important player on their team, when you see how much he's making, we'll let you know that. And y'all ready for Michael Irvin tonight? Y'all ready for Mike? Will he be taking his belt off again?
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Got all that coming up next.
Welcome home.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. The Drive is live, and it feels a little different on this Thirsty Thursday because
a little playoff, baby.
A little playoff feel to it as we are. Okay, let's go Buffalo. I didn't hear that coming. And it got a Josh Allen fan in the building. All right, there you go.
Yeah, we've handled them already.
Yeah,
I think there are a lot of Texans fans that would love to see you handle Jacksonville, right? And that puts maybe the Texans in line to host. If the three seed is out of there, and then maybe Buffalo come back to NRG. But we will head to NRG here in a little bit. We'll hear from CJ Stroud coming up at the bottom of the hour. So stay tuned for that as we get you ready over the next several days and hours here on Sports Radio 610 and here on The Drive for that playoff game in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. A little baseball news with the Astros, as they had several players that the deadline for them to reach agreements before it went to arbitration. They've been able to do that with some important guys there, including Jeremy Pena. He got just over $9 million, so they have that situation done in, so nobody has to go in and have to deal with the Kyle Tucker situation where you hear the team tell you how
find
they
out what the team really
feels
about
why they don't want to pay you. So they avoid that with him. Jesus Sanchez, $6.8 million is what he gets to avoid arbitration. Jake Myers, the center fielder, outfielder there, he gets $3.55 million, pissing off Chaz McCormick somewhere. He gets $3.5 million and avoids arbitration. And then this one, I understand it. This is his first year, but just to put into perspective, the Astros and arguably their most important player, how much they are paying him. Clinton Tyler, Hunter Brown, $5.7 million is what they're able to agree upon. $5.7 million is what they're able to agree upon to avoid arbitration. They're paying their ace $5.7 million, and not just an ace. Like he's one of the aces in the league. This is easily a top five pitcher in the league, top three in the Cy Young Award, and had a dominant season. And it looks like he's building upon it. He was good 2 years ago, last year, then he moved to an ace dominant. Now he's getting 5-7. I look at that, I'm like, man, they got to find some way to fix this outfield, somewhere else, if they're only paying him $5 million.
Boy, well, I mean, talk about fixing the outfield, or let's talk about adding another big arm to the starting rotation. I mean, instead of having to bet on, boy, this guy being healthy, or this guy developing, or that guy – You know, coming into his own. If your head, top of the game pitchers, your ace is 5-7-1. Boy, you got some money to spend, man. So
what'd you say? What would he fetch right now?
Yeah, what would he fetch on the open market?
A lot.
I mean, what do you think it is?
I mean, the total is in the twos, like 200. The total is something that I don't believe the Astros would pay. Or at least haven't shown to pay to pitchers, right?
Yeah,
I mean, what did Dylan Cease get, Tyler, or Cheryl? Dylan Cease, I thought, got something crazy, and I know he would get way more than Dylan Cease got. Dylan Cease just
Cheryl?
got a big deal. You got it?
7 years, $210 million.
$30 million
Come
a year.
On, man. I think Dylan's ERA was in the fours last year.
Ooh, yeah. I mean that's $30 million a year. I mean
if that's what Dylan Cease is getting, if this cat was on the open market and you getting, I mean, we're talking 35, 40 million.
Oh, well, and $23 million signing bonus.
I would imagine Jesus, you could probably do something similar. Now, I'm in no way, shape, or form am I saying this guy's the same caliber player at his position, but you could probably do something similar with Jake Myers. If you're starting center fielder that you are wholeheartedly committed to is at 3.5, I would imagine there's a little margin there between the top guys that you can
spend
elsewhere
year.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Career year, yeah. So that's crazy. I am certain that they have – they're probably trying to do something to get him paid early. But Scott Boras is his agent. I get the feel Scott just may say, man, why don't you chill out? unless we get some real numbers.
Yeah.
Chill out on that thing right now. So there is some Astros news. By the way, Clint, we got a big college football game tonight. Miami and Ole Miss there in Tempe. Glendale, playing for the Fiesta Bowl and the right to get to the college football championship game next Monday night. Miami 3.5-point favorites, but you ready? You ready for Mike Irvin?
I'm gonna be honest.
You ready? You ready for Mike Irvin? You ready for you ready for the Canes?
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I'm about as annoyed as I could possibly be with the Hurricanes. It's not the Hurricanes. It's the sideshows. Like I know Mike Irvin. I'm a Mike Irvin fan.
Yeah, we've had Mike on a lot here.
But he's out of his mind on the sideline, man. This isn't just whipping the bleachers after the game. I mean, he's walking around on the sideline. I mean, he's on cloud nine. Like, I mean, he's so jacked up. The whole game they're panning over there to him, and he's acting like it's a Super Bowl moment, like in the second quarter on a third and one. It's just like it's cool you know, every now and then, but it's got to a point where it's throughout the game, and now it's all of a sudden the belt out and whipping the bleachers and putting on this big big show.
He pulled out. By the way, he is still in great shape.
Look here. You speed up that metabolism on a daily basis. Your ass can stay lean like that.
I believe Mike has deserved multiple 15-yard penalties. I think he's clearly past the line of where he is supposed to be on the sideline.
Yeah.
He was down there when they – I'm sorry to bring up this moment for you, Tyler. But when they scored that – what became the game-winning touchdown – he was in the end zone.
Yeah.
He was down.
In the field of play.
He is sweating
like he's in a sauna.
That hair's got to go.
I mean, obviously out of his mind. And then last week it's – and I do. I like Miami. I'm not a big Beck fan, but I like that running back. And I love what Cristobal's created. But, man, now we got to watch Jimmy Johnson cry. Like, what the hell is
that
Jimmy?
Got to Jimmy, man.
Jimmy Johnson has
won. Don't give it to Jimmy.
Come on, man. Jimmy Johnson has won national titles. Jimmy Johnson has won Super Bowls. Bro, you just won a second-round playoff game, and you're crying during Cristobal's interview.
Hey, man, that's a
– what if I told you?
I mean, what do we do?
Like, the Cotton Bowl means a lot to Jimmy.
Yeah, right. You got a lot of memories in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, it's just like, what is – all these sideshows, I'm just like, damn, I like the –
got to Jimmy.
I like the football part of it. I like Cristobal. I like what they do. But all these sideshows are just enough already, man. I mean, who's going to be this
you.
Week?
I can't believe Jimmy did you win. Ray's there this week. Or Ray was there last
week. Ray was there last week. But Ray had no problem. Ray was cool, calm, collected, dressed to the nines. They panned over there and hit him a couple times with the camera, and he was doing a normal happy for you guys. He wasn't doing the whole look at me stuff. I mean, it'll be somebody this week.
Larry Coker, maybe it is.
Coker ain't – I mean, I don't know if he can move that fast. I don't know if he's still with us.
Larry's with
it'll be somebody, though. It'll be somebody. You watch. And now ain't nobody going to take the cake. Ain't nobody going to take the cameras from Mike.
It ain't going to be somebody. It's going to be Mike.
Yeah, it's going to be Mike. There's going to be another side character.
Maybe Benny Blanks is somewhere around.
When I saw Jimmy Johnson crying last week, I said, gosh, damn.
Let him get there, man.
Come on, man.
Jimmy's 80. Coming up, let's go to NRG.
I mean, that guy's got 6 championships combined, doesn't he?
That's his school. He brought them up and they're back.
Jeez.
We'll go to NRG and hear from CJ Stroud as he gets ready for this playoff matchup against the Steelers. That's next.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Would die for CJ. Everyone knows that.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings Willowbrook, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. As we have a good time out here. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Wild Wings, make your way on out here. We are at the Willowbrook location, landmark, if you need to figure it out, on the other side of the highway from Willowbrook Mall. Come on out, have a good time as we're getting you ready for this huge playoff game Thursday. Shout out to Bud Light. Shout out to our good friends here at Buffalo Wild Wings. And rest assured, hey, heard the Texas cheerleaders are going to be out here soon. So come on out here. And,
yeah, girl.
Yeah, plenty for you to have fun with and enjoy. All right, let's head out to NRG and hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, as he speaks to the media.
The playoff experience that you've gained and winning some games, which only a few quarterbacks in the NFL have done in their first 2 seasons, how much does that help you feel confident preparing for this next round of the postseason?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think, you know, the experience that I've been able to gain in the last 2 years have been, you know, very, you know, important and, you know, helpful. But, you know, it's a new year, you know, and I never played, you know, on the road in a wild card game. So, I mean, that's a new experience in that. But, you know, I kind of have a good idea on somehow some of these games go, and that's – you don't have an idea. So, it can go any way, and this is a good team we're playing against. So, just trying to be prepared in my preparation as much as I can.
I know you appreciate every football game you get to play, but do you get a little bit more amped up, a little bit more excited when you're playing these kind of games at this time of year?
I mean, yes and no. Like, I mean, I think when the ball snapped, you know, you're just locked in. But, you know, I think the added extra cameras, extra eyes and stuff, you know, you just know it's a little – there's a little more eyes on you. But I'm excited. And, you know, I've played in some big games in my career, and I'm just – every next one is a bigger one. So I just, you know, want to, you know, be able to handle this moment as best as I can and be present, you know, and enjoy it.
In your experience, is playoff football different? Does it feel different? And kind of what defines success in the playoffs in your estimation?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it feels different. I think the margins are smaller, and I think success is winning, you know, if you can win. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is find a way to win.
With such a successful kicker, Ki'imi, does it give you hope at the end of half, end of game situations when there's not that much time left where if we advance to the X yard line, he's going to come through for us?
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in Ki'imi, and I think he's done a great job for us this year. So,
can you say about what the offensive line has done this year? Dramatic improvement in a lot of different categories from last year to this year. What do you think about the job they did this year protecting you?
I mean, I think they're doing amazing. You know, I think a lot of guys have been in there, and, you know, I think just schematically too, just me trying to get the ball out as fast as possible, or, you know, taking one if one is there. I thought, you know, we've all grown, you know, from Titus all the way down to me, you know. So I think the leadership in that room has grown. I think Cole, you know, Cole has done an amazing job. And, you know, he's hard on those guys. He yells, he cusses, he does, you know, everything that you think an O-line coach should do. And, you know, those guys, you know, they're yes sir, no sir. And, you know, they're also, you don't back down when the challenge is, you know, presented. So, you know, they're the heartbeat of our team. And, you know, we go as far as they go.
Hey, CJ, you have everyone knows about the threat that Nico is, but this year some of the younger guys have come up, so you got more, you know, people that you can spread the offense to. How much does that help and give confidence going into postseason, knowing you've got some additional weapons that you've been building throughout the season?
Yeah, it's helpful. You know, I think, you know, our young guys have, you know, got a lot of experience, and then there's still a lot of things they need to learn, and they have to learn fast now, you know, so I'm excited for that. But, you know, I think every year I've had great receivers. Now we're just a little more healthy, you know, which is dope. So, you know, I'm excited, and, you know, I think, you know, this would be a great challenge for us. You know, they're really good in the back end and do a great job in different coverages. So we ought to just be able to identify what we're seeing and all be on the same page and, you know, go from there.
CJ, with their rush, if basically three guys that have a lot of sack production or quarterback hits with Watt, Herbig, and Highsmith, what do you see from these guys? What are some of the challenges that they present?
Yeah, I think, you know, they rush, you know, together. You know, they're going to push the pocket and, you know, burn the edge. And, you know, I think they do a great job even, you know, with their effort. You know, they're getting chips and things like that the whole game, and they're still, you know, going very hard. So I have a lot of respect for, you know, Highsmith and Watt and, you know, their interior guys. I think their whole D-line is the heartbeat of their team. And then you got Patrick Queen, you know, who's a dog and been a great player in this league for a long time. You know, and then Jalen, you know, leading the guys in the back end. I think, you know, overall they've done a really good job, and, you know, they make it hard, and they play really hard. So it's going to be a challenge, and I think, you know, yeah, but up front, you know, I'm very, very respectful. I mean, I respect them to a high standard, you know, and just how Mike Tomlin coaches those guys as well.
Yeah, you talk about the game having smaller margins now in the playoffs. When it comes to your preparation, how does the game maybe zero in more? In what areas also do you anticipate them kind of maybe approaching you? You know, how does the game just kind of change from regular season to the playoffs in that aspect?
I wouldn't say it changes. It's just, you know, just the margin of the execution is just smaller. Guys are a little on a little more. I wouldn't change my preparation. I'll do the same things that I've always done. You know, maybe a little more here and a little less there, but, you know, I just, whatever I need to do, be prepared. Nothing, no special sauce, no special ingredient, you know, still football. So I just got to go and execute at a high level.
When you look at Nick Caley and his strengths as an OC and how he's built this offense, what stands out for him?
I think, you know, his ability to, you know, to block out the noise and continue to go forward. I think, you know, everybody in this day and age wants a microwave. You know, they want to throw something in the microwave, let it heat up fast and be the new product. And that's none of us. So, you know, football is an oven type of sport, or whatever you use, a crock pot, whatever, whatever any of y'all use. Yeah, whatever. So, I mean, I think, you know, this team, you know, and we try to do our best to just block out the noise, you know, and just stay, you know, in our brotherhood and lean on one another. I thought he's done a great job of, you know, leaning on us, asking us what we like, even if it didn't work, like not running away from asking guys, you know, what they like, and putting guys in position to, you know, do what we need to do best. So, you know, we're still working. We're still, you know, got ways to go, but I'm just proud of that guy, man. I think he's done a heck of a job of calling it, of, you know, being honest, you know, and really one thing I respect about Kel is like he doesn't, you know, point fingers. And if he does, it's in the right way. It's not like blame game. It's like, hey, you can be better here because I know you can. So he's uplifting, you know, and I have a lot of love for that guy. But he's done a heck of a job for us this year.
In big games, you've used your legs. Last year you had, I think, 42 yards in both playoff games. Do you think that the need or willingness to use the legs increases in playoff games?
I don't know. I just try to play as fast as I can. I think every game I try to use my legs if I need to, but sometimes it doesn't present. And I've been getting spied lately, so that's kind of cool. You know, I haven't got spied in my career probably in a long time, but, you know, so whatever the play presents. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, whatever way you got to get the job done, get it done.
From the human element of that, coming back after the injury that you had, was there any, like, challenge of, okay, got
to
be selective when to use my legs?
No, I'm not. I don't live in fear. At least I try not to. So I think this game, if you think about getting hurt, you think about something happening is when it usually happens. So I try my best just to play fast and just, you know, protect myself as well, though.
CJ, you're really facing a quarterback that was drafted even before you were 5 years old. You recall watching him play and what he means having to face him now in the play?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, you know, Aaron. I love what he does. You know, he's been a heck of a player. You know, I think he's a top three quarterback to ever touch a football. You know, he's done some really cool things in the sports. His mechanics are through the roof. His, you know, ability to, you know, use his pronation on his wrist and how he flicks the ball is just dope. And I'm a big fan of his. So, you know, this will be my second time facing against him. And, you know, I'm a big fan of his, and I'm, you know, going to, you know, not be ruined for him on Monday night, but I think, you know, he's a heck of a player and I have a lot of respect for him. And, you know, he's done it for a long time and is even doing it at a high level, you know, at, you know, his age now and, you know, year 21 or whatever it is for him. So a lot of respect for him.
CJ Abdura, you talked about the young receivers. D'Amico mentioned he was proud of Higgins and the way he's grown to this point in the season. Just where do you feel that his game is at? Seems like he's made some improvements kind of late in the season.
Yeah, you know, Higgins has grown a lot. I think he's somebody who, you know, is killed people, you know, with, you know, extra movement and, like, you know, throwing his head and doing all these different, you know, releases and stuff. But I think I told him, like, he's so big, fast, and strong, you know, like, the quickest you get open, the better, you know. So especially for me, you're not really running routes against DBs, you're running routes against the D-line. So I think it's somewhere he's grown in a lot of areas. I think he's grown in the run game, you know, wanting to go block. So I think, you know, all that stuff helps him. But, man, he's done a tremendous job for us, and, you know, he's going to be a heck of a player in this league for a long time.
Can you speak to your mindset going into playoffs this year as opposed to the first two seasons?
Win. Yeah, try to win.
Last one, sorry.
CJ, I know we talked a lot about your past experience, but, you know, after week three, every game was pretty much a playoff game for you all, pretty much a win or go home type of game. How will you all be able to take that type of adversity that you went through the regular season and be able to take it over into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have a lot of experience on high-pressure moments, high-pressure games. So it'll be an opportunity for us to, you know, do it again. And I think it's a heck of an opportunity to play, you know, at a legendary stadium against a legendary coach, a legendary team. And I think, you know, this is going to be a great challenge. So, you know, we got to be ready. It's going to be cold and it's going to be loud and it's going to be a lot of elements that are not for us and not is it against us. But we've been in this before. You know, we play plenty of cold games, plenty of loud games, you know, been a solid operation. So a lot of experience in a lot of different ways. And I think, you know, that'll pay off, you know, when we go up there on Monday night. Thank you, guys.
That is Houston Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud speaking to the media on this Thursday. Everything's moved back a day because of the Monday night matchup. But tones from D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, a little more serious, a little more playoff-like. This is a win-or-go-home type of situation. Always good to hear from the head coach and the quarterback. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook. Come on through and hang out. We got some visitors coming here for too long. Texans cheerleaders will be here before you know it. Let's react a little bit to what C.J. Stroud had to say and then catch folks up on some of the most recent firing here in the NFL. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.